people in our world, we Americans have been blessed this morning, is how God looks at us and the abundance of possessions we call ours. The first, I think, important thing for us to do is give definition to what our possessions are. Number one, all of our stuff. And it's a great way to say it because, you know, it's really not much more than stuff. You know, think about the shoes in the closet. Every once in a while, there will be someone on television who talks about all the shoes in their closet. And recently, I remember there was an athlete who was collecting sneakers. And I forget how many pairs of sneakers he had collected in his closet. But he was pretty proud of that. All the shoes in our closet and all the other stuff in our closets. All the cars, the lawnmowers, the microwaves, the fishing gear, the golf clubs, etc., etc. I have a cousin who now lives in Virginia. They're close to Washington, D.C. One of the things he's proud of is his car. And I forget what it is. It's one of those $500,000 cars, though, that it's a Rolls Royce. It's a Rolls Royce. He has a Rolls Royce. And he thinks that this is, you know, the greatest thing. Well, it's one of his possessions. Our houses, our lands, these are things that we possess. These are the stuff of our lives. Secondly, then, all the monies that are ours to use, that are available to us, our bank accounts, our investments, Social Security, our 401c, whatevers, these are part of what we possess. They're part of what is ours that we have. Then, all of the gifts and the abilities that have been developed through education and technology and the wisdom gained from the experience of living, this is something else that we possess that is ours that God has given us. And then fourth, four-letter word, life. Life is a possession. This morning, that comes home to us more than ever as we share the loss of Rick. Life is a gift. It is a possession that is ours. It is something that is ours, and it is something that makes a difference, not just in our lives, but in everybody around us. And then fifth, all of our relationships are something that we possess. Our relationships multiply the potential of our living. I want to say that again. Our relationships multiply the potential of our living. You know, as Margaret and I have had the joy of sharing the last couple days with Keith and Martha. Relationships. You know, we haven't been together like this in quite a few years. The potential that is ours in terms of living life is increased by the relationships that we have. So one of the things that we possess that is important are those relationships. Again, I want to reflect a little bit on Rick and his loss. He's gone. Think about the relationship that you shared with Rick. Think about the things that made a difference in your life. Maybe there's some of us who took up the sugar water thing and we say, wow, you know, we remember that and we've used it. It's become a part of our lives. Maybe there are other things in relationship to Rick that we have experienced and have increased the value of our lives because of what we've learned from Rick. Rick's gone. We no longer are going to have that opportunity for relationship. So one of the things that needs to be said today is that relationships are an important part of what we possess in regard to how we live life and our potential in terms of our living. All of these things are things we possess and have the privilege of handling and managing in whatever way we choose. So there are two understandings here. Number one, everything we possess is a gift from God. Life, relationships, stuff. All of these things we possess are indeed a gift from God. That's number one. Number two, God's expectation is that we are going to be managers who handle these possessions properly, multiplying their value and their worth. Okay, I want to go to Matthew chapter 25. I want to read verses 14 to 30. God has lots to say about money and possessions. And we're going to be reading some of these today and talking about them and looking at them. So Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with these 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit in the bank, so that when I returned, I would have received at least some interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to one of the one that has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we have this parable, and excuse me a moment. I'm glad we're not on television today. Okay. So we have this parable of the owner that gave his servants the 5 bags and the 2 bags and the 1 bag. The 2 servants went out and they did what the master wanted. They multiplied what was given to them and they came back with that amount. And the 1 servant to whom money was given came back and brought just what he had been given. And the master said to him, you wicked servant, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I harvested where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered. So the first principle in relationship to what God wants us to do with the possessions that we have is this. The principle is of managing and handling our possessions. Whatever we have been given, we are to work to multiply its value and worth. Okay, so think back about the definition of possessions. All of those things we possess, what are we to do with them? We're to take them and use them to multiply their value. And there are many ways in which that happens. It happens in a result of more money It happens in the result of greater crops. It happens in a result of relationships that are expanded and developed. It happens in ways that, you know, there's an increase in value in terms of who I am as a person. When I take the responsibility for my life to study, to read, to prepare, I'm increasing the value of who I am. That's what God calls us to do. So that's the first principle that God wants us to understand in relationship to possessions. When we do as God has directed us to do and handle and manage our possessions well, we are going to realize an accumulation of possessions beyond what we need to live. Okay? Why is it that God gives us what he gives us? Not just for us to live. Okay? He wants us to increase the value so that there's more than what we need to maintain our own lives. That's God's expectation. He wants us to increase that value so that then we have something to give. So the next question is this. How are we to look at our abundance, and what are we to do with this multiplying of our possessions? So I want to go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, reading verses 16 to 30. Those who are rich in the kingdom of God. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. And Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the man said, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away and said, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus' disciples said to him, or Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." Then when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you, Jesus. What then is there going to be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." If you want to be perfect, what are we to do? We're to sell our possessions and give to the poor. "And you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me." Two things Jesus says to us with our multiplicity of possessions. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. The young man went away sad because he was rich, because he had much. And then I think it's so interesting, the disciples' response to this parable. The disciples said to Jesus, "Truly, I tell you," or Jesus said to his disciples first, and then the disciples come back. And Peter asked this question that all of us ask and all of us are concerned about. Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" That's a question we all ask, isn't it? We think, okay, Jesus says, sell your possessions and follow me. The disciples are saying, okay, we do that. Then what are we going to have? There are a couple of things here that are important for us to understand and realize. Number one, you know, if we sell everything, we won't have anything, will we? So, what are the principles that we're learning? Okay, what are the principles that God wants us to understand? We need to multiply what we have so that we have something to give. Does God want us to be without? No, he doesn't. God wants us to be able to care for ourselves and others. So, Jesus says then in response to Peter, he says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. How much do you trust Jesus? How much faith do you have in Jesus to care for you, to give you all things? One of the things that has been asked of me in the last month is a question about Christians collecting stuff and making storehouses of stuff. And I was asked the question, what do you think of that, Dale? And my response was, well, that's not where I am. I don't think that's something we should be doing. And this person said, well, there are a lot of Christians who are doing this. And it's true, there are a lot of Christians who are doing this. And this person said, well, if something happens, I want to be able to help other people. Oh, that's great. Absolutely. We want to be able to help other people. We're going to read another scripture here in a bit that addresses that as well. But one of the things we need to ask, and one of the things I ask of people who are doing that, I ask, how much faith, how much trust do you have that God will care for you and others? What does God tell us in his word? What does God promise in his word? He promises that he's going to take care of us. Doesn't he? I believe he does. Peter and we are concerned, aren't we? If we sell our possessions, give to the poor, what's going to happen to us? Well, number one, I don't think God's saying sell all of your possessions. And as we move ahead, next week we're going to be looking again at this passage in Acts where the early believers gathered together and the scripture says they had everything in common and there were no needy among them. So they took their possessions, and people who had more stuff than they needed sold some of it, more stuff than they needed gave some of it to those who had need. Okay, I want to go to another scripture, Luke chapter 12. Okay, we're going to go to Luke chapter 12 next, and I want to read from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me to be judge or arbiter between you? Then Jesus said, Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of grain laid up for yourself for many years and for everybody else who needs some. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry. Oh, by the way, I added those other words, and everybody else who needs some. But God said to him, You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So how do we answer these questions? How do we answer that question? How are we to look at our possessions? And what are we to do with the multiplying of our possessions? A couple of things. And this is kind of a summation of where we've been. Number one, it's hard for the rich. That's us, folks. We're rich compared to most of the world. It's hard for the rich to give up our possessions and give to the poor and then follow Jesus. It's hard. But it's what God asks us to do. But it's not impossible. All right? Jesus said, it's hard, but it's not impossible. With God, all things are possible. Thanks be to the Lord. It's not impossible to do what God's calling us to do. And then the third piece here that we just read in this passage, be on your guard against greed. I have to look at myself and ask, am I being greedy? Lyle has blessed me to be able to hunt on his farm up by Manchester for a number of years. The family decided that they wanted to be able to hunt there. And Lyle told me that. And felt bad about telling me that because he knew how much I loved it. So, what's my attitude? Do I get mad at the family? Well, if I'm greedy, I'm going to do that. And I could get greedy because it was wonderful. Lyle, Molly, thank you. Smile. Be glad. It's okay. But do you see what I'm saying? It's so easy for us to begin to see these possessions as things that are ours that we want to hang on to in ways that we shouldn't. And we get greedy and we want more. Why do people play the lottery? Why do I? Why have I in the past at times gone out and bought a ticket when the lottery says it's $400 million? Well, because I could do lots of things for other people. But guess what? There'd be things I'd want to do for me too. God says, be careful. Be careful of greed. Be careful of greed. And then, fourthly, what Jesus says is, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And the longer I live, the older I get, the more I understand the reality and truth of that. When you're young, it's hard to see that. It's hard to understand that. Because we think that, boy, we need this, or we want this, and this, and this. And we think that these possessions are things that are important to our lives and our existence. The longer I live, the less I feel that way, the more I understand that life does not consist in the possessions that I have. We go back to Acts, the early believers. They had all things in common. They sold houses and property. They gave to whomever had need. There were no needy among them. What is it God wants us to learn? What is it we need to understand today as a result of what we have looked at? God has given us lots and lots. And as Americans, we are so rich. We have so many possessions. Should we be ashamed of that? No, not at all. But what we should know is that what God has given us, we're to multiply so that we can give to others, so that when there's someone in need, we can help them. And this congregation, you folks are so generous. And I just encourage us to be more and more like that. You know, there are multiple times, there have been in the last year, in which we've heard someone, a story of someone who has a need, and you know, you guys walk out the church and someone puts something in my hand, doesn't show, I hold it, later I look at it, and the person says, would you make sure that that goes to so-and-so? The early church, that's what they did, so that there was no need. We do a lot of that, and I just rejoice. It's great. It's good. As we do that, we're doing what God wants us to do. I want to encourage us, though, never feel badly about multiplying the possessions that are yours, but just don't do it with greed. Just don't do it with greed. Do it with the idea that I want to bless people who have need. That's what God wants for us. Multiply your possessions. Give generously to those in need. Follow Jesus. You know, I wrote those 1, 2, 3 in my notes. And then this morning as I was reading over those notes again, what I did was I put an arrow back up on top of number 1. So, okay, I'll read them as I had them. Multiply your possessions, give generously to those in need, follow Jesus. And in scriptures, follow Jesus always came after. Well, guess what? Number 1 and number 3, or 1A, needs to be follow Jesus, and then give, you know, multiply your possessions, and then at the end, follow Jesus too. We begin and we end with following Jesus. And as we read the scriptures and learn, we learn more of what that means and how we do that. And we can give thanks and glory to God. We're going to close again today with that one chorus that we often sang, Keith and Martha, for you who have never been with us before. At our time of offering, we always, at the close of offering, sang this one verse of this hymn. It's number 523. It's, we give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. Let's stand as we sing that verse again.